In your Bibles this morning to John chapter 3. Need to mention that the school board needs to have a brief meeting up here at the front right after the service this morning. The theme of that song, the words of that song, Brother Dan indirectly alluded to them recently in one of his morning minutes, where he went to visit a man who had built a new house and he left the old house. And he asked him why, and he said, "Because I wanted to remember where I came from." And it's important for us to remember where we were when the Lord found us and where he's brought us from and where we might have been. John chapter 3. And let's begin reading at verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again.'" Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today, for giving us health and strength. What an amazing thing it is that we have the ability to be here, the ability not only in body, but the ability in mind. And we pray that we would not waste these gifts. We would not take them for granted, but that we might use them to be a blessing to you here in this world. We pray that you would speak to our hearts from this very familiar portion of Scripture today, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be honored. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. We're looking this morning at a very familiar portion of Scripture here in John's Gospel. And that's a disadvantage in some respects, because sometimes our familiarity with a passage or a verse of Scripture causes us to skip over it, because we think that we know it so well and we move on, even though we may not verbalize that. Many times it's the practical effect of our attitude. That's wrong thinking. Because what we need is more about Jesus, as the hymn writer wrote. What we need is the old story of Jesus and his love. What we need is to remember the admonition of the Spirit of God to his people in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have learned, lest at any time we should let them slip." And so it's important that we come back to a passage like this that we've learned so well, that the things that we've heard and learned don't slip away from our minds. Now, the way that we want to try and cover this chapter is by looking at one word that is mentioned three times in these verses. And the word that we're going to look at is the word "must." That's a word that's not very popular today, because it carries the idea of being bound under the necessity to do something or not do something. You must pay your taxes. You must drive a certain speed. You must be somewhere. Your job, school, you must be there by a certain time. Carries the idea of being required or compelled to do something. And people don't like that. Begins as a child. There comes a time in the lives of our children, somewhere around 11 or 12 or 13, it varies depending on the child. And when our children reach that age, they no longer really want to be told what they must do. This word must is inseparably related to authority. And children reach an age when they no longer want to submit to authority. And we never lose that, do we? It doesn't go away. Adults don't like that word must any better than children, because it flies in the face and it stands against our authority. The two words that fight against the authority must are the words I will. I will. I'll have my life. I'll have my will. I'll have my way, no matter what God says. So when God uses this word must, we need to humble ourselves and we need to pay close attention to it. The first must that we find here in John chapter 3 is in verse 7, where the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He was a man of influence. He was a man of position in Israel. And he came to Jesus by night. And it's been said, and I think rightly so, that he came to Jesus by night because that allowed him to come secretly. It allowed him to come under the cover of darkness so his fellow Pharisees on the council wouldn't see him with Jesus. Because what the rulers and what the Pharisees feared is losing their place. They feared losing their position, their station, their power. And they saw Jesus as a threat to all of that. And so Nicodemus comes under the cover of darkness and he says to Jesus in verse 2, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus begins by calling Jesus master. That word, if you look it up, means my great one, my honorable sir. That's what the word means. And it was a title used by the Jews to address their teachers. And that's what Nicodemus is calling Jesus, a teacher come from God, a teacher who can do miracles because God is with him. Now, I'm not sure what Nicodemus was expecting to hear from Jesus in reply to his opening words. He was probably expecting to hear something like, "Well, thank you, Nicodemus. I appreciate those kind words." But that's not what he got. What Nicodemus got was the fulfilling of prophecy. I'd like for you to keep your place here where we can kind of go back and forth. But look back in the Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 29, if you will. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29, and look at verse 13. "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Isn't that how Nicodemus came to Jesus? He drew near with his mouth. Now, look back at his words again, and if you're still able to flip, look at his words to Jesus in verse 2. "You are a rabbi, You're a teacher come from God. You're a miracle worker. And so obviously, God is with you. That's what Isaiah said would happen. This people draw near me with their mouth. But look what else Isaiah says. But have removed their heart far from me. That's Nicodemus here. His heart is removed far from the Lord. He's coming near with his mouth. But listen to these next words in Isaiah. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Flip back and look at Nicodemus' words again in verse 2. Rabbi, we know. We know. Nicodemus doesn't say, Rabbi, I know. He says, we know. He's not speaking for himself. He's not saying what he has learned for himself. No, Nicodemus is reflecting what he has been taught by the precept of men. He's reflecting the view of the Lord that he's been taught, that he's heard as he sat on the council of the rulers of the Jews. And so Nicodemus is drawing near with his mouth and he's honoring the Lord Jesus with his lips, but his heart is far from him. His fear, this verse, their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Nicodemus's fear, his respect, the reverence, and the piety that he's showing toward the Lord has been taught to him by the precept of men. These fellows had decided what Jesus was. Yes, he may be. Yes, he's a teacher. We can't deny the miracles. Now look at the prophecy in verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 29. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Paul quotes this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19, where he says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The fulfillment of Isaiah 29:14 is John 3:3. Look at it. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hear the wisdom of Nicodemus, this master of Israel, this one who thinks of himself as fitted to teach others, it perishes. Hear the understanding of this prudent man is brought to nothing by the Lord's statement. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the proof that Nicodemus, his wisdom has perished, is in verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto them, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? The earthly wisdom of Nicodemus has been destroyed. His understanding has been brought to nothing. This master of Israel has absolutely no clue what the Lord is talking about when he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's relating it to earthly things. And that's the wisdom that he's got. He doesn't have the wisdom that comes from above. He's got earthly wisdom, and in his earthly wisdom, he's thinking, well, you're talking about being born again, then how can I enter back into my mother's womb and be born? But the Lord isn't through with Nicodemus, and that's one of the great blessings of reading a passage like this. The Lord isn't through with Nicodemus. He didn't just destroy his wisdom. He didn't just bring his understanding to naught. He didn't just bring him out and show him that he knew nothing about heavenly things. The Lord's going to teach him. Aren't you glad he's like that with us? It's a very great blessing to think about that. He's going to teach Nicodemus what it means to be born again. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You have to be born again. How's that going to happen? The Lord takes Nicodemus. I want us to see where he takes him to explain what it means to be born again. Notice the wording in verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus takes this master of Israel back to the beginning. He takes him back to the second verse of the Bible. And I'd like for us to turn there. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Well, we'll read verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Let's stop right there for just a minute. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He came to Jesus in the darkness. And it was not only... And think about that. They didn't have street lights. They didn't have street lights in those days. It was dark. When it got dark, it got dark. Nicodemus came in the darkness. He came to Jesus by night. And it was not only night outside, it was night in the soul of this man. Darkness was upon the depths of his soul. And what lay before him was the blackness and darkness of the grave. That was Nicodemus' condition. And it's your condition if you're lost this morning. Nicodemus' life and your life as we come into this world is without form and void, and darkness is upon the face of the deep of our soul. And by the way, we love that darkness. We love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil and we hate the light. We're going to see that, Lord willing, a little later in John chapter 3. And we hate the light because we don't want our deeds to be manifest. We don't want our deeds to be reproved. We don't want our deeds to be exposed. This is how Nicodemus was born into the world. This is how you and I are born into the world. Our first birth is wrong. Because we were shapen in iniquity and in sin did our mothers conceive us. And so this is why the Lord told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is our need. And the means by which a man is born again is by water and of the Spirit. Those are important words because with those words, the Lord is taking Nicodemus back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. He's taking this master of Israel back to first grade, if you will. Back to the very opening verses of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus is taking him back to this verse. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It's the first mention of the Spirit of God in the Bible. It's the first mention of water in the Bible. And this is where the Lord takes Nicodemus. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so he's taking him here to explain how that works. To explain how a man is born of water and of the Spirit. To explain how a man is born again. The Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters of the Word of God. That's what water speaks to us of in the Bible. And the word that stood out in this verse for the first time to me is the word face. Face. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, of course, You read that and you say, well, I know what that means. It means that the Spirit of God moved upon the face or the surface of the waters. Why didn't the Lord just say that? Why that language? Why give the waters a human characteristic? Because John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. There He was. Right there in front of Nicodemus. Genesis 1:2 is a prophecy of the time when the Word living, the Lord Jesus Christ, would have a face and a body. And He would come into this world and He would take upon Him the form of a servant. The fullness of the time when He would be made in the likeness of men. The time when He would humble Himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And you know about the death of the cross, where His visage was so marred more than any man. You see, the Lord Jesus is the face of the waters of the Word of God that the Spirit of God moves upon. I want you to think about that. The Lord Jesus is the face of the waters of the Word of God that the Spirit of God moves upon. We see His face all through this book. We see His face here in the book of Genesis, in the animals that shed their blood to provide coats of skin to clothe Adam and Eve. We see His face in the firstlings of Abel's flock that he brought as an offering unto the Lord. We see His face in Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, who brought forth bread and wine in celebration of Abram's great victory. We see His face in Isaac as he and his father Abraham go both of them together up Mount Moriah, where the father would offer his son as a burnt offering. We see His face there in Egypt in the book of Exodus, in the Passover lamb. We see His face in Leviticus in the blood given upon the altar to make an atonement for the soul. We see His face in the book of Numbers in the star that shall come out of Jacob and the scepter that shall rise out of Israel. In Deuteronomy, we see His face in the prophet that the Lord would raise up, Moses said, like unto me. We see His face in Joshua as captain of the host of the Lord. In Judges, we see His face in the angel of the Lord who appeared at different times in that book. In Ruth, we see His face in Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, we see His face in the ark of God. And in David, the rejected king. In Kings, we see His face in Solomon. In Chronicles, we see His face in the glory of the temple. We see His face in Ezra. In Ezra, the man. The gates of the city of Jerusalem in Nehemiah. In Esther, we see His face in the providence of God. In Job, we see His face in the constellations of the heavens. In Psalms, we see His face in the shepherd of Psalm 23. We see His face in the wisdom of Proverbs, as the preacher in Ecclesiastes, as the bridegroom in the Song of Solomon. We see His face in the man of sorrows in Isaiah, as the one for whom nothing is too hard for in Jeremiah. We see His face in His mercies and His compassions and His faithfulness in the book of Lamentations. In Ezekiel, He's the one who gives life to the dry bones. We see His face, one like unto the Son of God, in the fiery furnace in Daniel. In Hosea, we see His face in the rain as the latter and former rain unto the earth. In Joel, we see His face in the deliverance of those who call on the name of the Lord. In Amos, He's the revealer of secrets to His prophets. In Obadiah, we see His face as the deliverer upon Mount Zion. In Jonah, we see his face in the deep as the floods and billows and the waves of God passed over. In Micah, we see his face in the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. In Nahum, we see his face in the as the stronghold in the day of trouble. The one who in wrath remembers mercy. In Zephaniah, we see his face in the king of Israel. In Haggai, we see his face as the desire of all nations who is to come. In Zechariah, we see his face in my servant, the branch. In Malachi, we see his face in the son of righteousness, the S-U-N of righteousness. We see his face as the king in Matthew, as the servant in Mark, as the son of man in Luke, as God manifest in the flesh in John, as the ascended Lord in Acts, the gift of God in Romans, the first fruits of them that slept in 1 Corinthians, the one whose grace is sufficient in 2 Corinthians. We see his face in the seed that we read about in the book of Galatians. We see his face in the unsearchable riches of Ephesians. We see his face in his people in Philippians, in whom he delights to work both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We see his face in the hope of glory in Colossians, the deliverer from the wrath to come in 1 Thessalonians, the Lord of peace in 2 Thessalonians. We see his face in the church of the living God in 1 Timothy, in the judge of the quick and the dead in 2 Timothy. We see his face in the blessed hope of Titus. We see his face as the one to whom we owe even our own selves as bond slaves in the book of Philemon. We see his face in the author and finisher of our faith in the book of Hebrews. We see his face in the Lord of Sabaoth in James, in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and the day star in Peter, in the true God and eternal life in John's first epistle. We see his face in the truth and love and joy of 2 and 3 John. And we see his face in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Revelation. The Lord Jesus is the face of the waters of the Word of God. The face of the waters of this book that the Spirit of God moves upon. And when that happens, God commands the light to shine out of darkness. And he shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We read that in 2 Corinthians. This is how a man is born again. Born of water and of the Spirit. The Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters of the Word of God to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ and convict men and women and young people of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He convicts of sin because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there's not a just man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. We see our sin as the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters of the Word of God. He convicts of righteousness. We have none. There's none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we see the filthy rags of our righteousness as the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters of the Word of God. And in the glorious light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we see the cross. We see the cross where the Lord Jesus took our uncleanness. He took the filthy rags of our sin upon himself. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He'll give us his righteousness. This morning, in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, are you clothed in filthy rags or in the righteousness of God? That question is so important because judgment is coming. The Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters of the Word of God to convict of judgment. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. Why? Because as one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. It's appointed unto men once to die. That's not the end. After this, the judgment. We have no hope in that judgment, by the way. We have nothing to say in our defense. We're guilty before God. That's why Hebrews 9:28 is such an amazing and such a wonderful verse. Listen to verse 27 again. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, in the first two words of Hebrews 9:28, so Christ, because we're sinners, because we have no hope to stand before God, because we have no defense, because we're guilty. I mean, we deserve His judgment, we deserve His wrath for that very reason. When we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And John tells us how many, many is. 1 John 2:2, it's the sins of the whole world. That's how many, many is. We're talking about the three musts of John chapter 3. And the first must is, ye must be born again. Have you been born again? That's the question. Have you been born again? The wonderful news today is that you can be. Right where you are, you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to talk about it in John chapter 3. Probably one of the most famous and well-known verses in all the Word of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know Him today? Father, we thank You for the message of the gospel. We thank You for the simplicity of it. We pray that You would speak to the hearts of any here who are lost. Any here who have drawn near You with their lips. They've drawn near outwardly, but inwardly their heart is far from You. Help them to see their need to be saved today. Help them to see their need to be born again of water and of the Spirit. And we thank You for the work of the Spirit of God to move upon the face of the waters of this book, to give the light of the glorious gospel of Christ in the face of Jesus Christ. Father, those of us who know You today, help us to rejoice in You. Help us every day to live in a way that will be a blessing to You, that will be a testimony here in this world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.